want to repeat that. The life of God in the soul of man is our only hope for obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does Paul mean in verse 14? Whereunto he called you, that's the effectual call, by our gospel, that's the report from heaven, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That just sounds like good religious talk, doesn't it? Glory. If you throw glory in once in a while, it sounds like high religion. But it really means something. And most of us have never tasted glory. It means weight. It's connected to riches. Believers have a most stunning and glorious future. Paul wrote to the Romans, listen carefully. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory, the radiant outshining of all the attributes and gifts and beauty of Christ Jesus, his perfections. I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us, not only to us, but in us. We're going to be made like Christ. For the earnest expectation of the creature, that means creation, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Wait, what? The word picture here is wonderful in the Greek. The earnest expectation is of like someone standing on his tiptoes and craning his neck, looking for that thing, looking for it, waiting for it. It's his creations waiting for a particular moment. What is it? The manifestation of us. Really? I'm just going to be glad to see Christ. But it's like creation. It's waiting for the manifestation, the revelation, the showing forth of God's people, his sons. What an unspeakably glorious moment that will be when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit on the throne of his glory, and his eternally loved people will hear such things as these. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Come, ye blessed of my Father. Come, ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. There is something waiting that is so far above our little minds that we could not take it in now. The closest we can get to it is to read the book of Revelation over and over and try to grasp something of what those symbols are telling us about that stunning world, that stunning new creation that we will be a part of for all eternity. No, Jesus promised while he was in this world, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for what? The Son of God? Building something for us? Preparing something for us? Making something for us? We ought to spend every moment of our life trying to make and do things for him. He says, no. I love you all. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you that you can't even imagine. The lost man wants to make all of his money and build his little heaven here on earth. And all it takes is a little shaking of the earth or a little blowing of God's wind, and it's gone. But Jesus says, no, there is for us a mansion. So if Christ says it's a mansion, I can't imagine what it is like. I'm going to prepare that place for you. And if I'm going to do that, I will come again and I will receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He wants to be with us. He's about to take two of his dear children to him. He may take more this week, but it's because he wants us. I don't understand that. In that extraordinary day, if not before, we will see the King in his beauty, our existence in glory, our presence in his presence will be the answer to Christ's prayer, as our brother prayed just a few moments ago. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. He's telling his Father, he's wanting to bring us into his glory, in to see his beauty, in to see the unimaginable beauty of our King. Breathtaking. We will take part in that eternal, holy scene. The four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and which is and which is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him. They fall down before him that sat on the throne. Get that picture. Something so awesome that the bodies are just hitting the ground. You don't know that. I don't know that. But those that repent and believe will. They will have the joy of awe. The joy of, I don't know, what do we drop on the streets of gold? Well, we will drop somewhere. Stunned beyond our ability to comprehend. And they, all of them, cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory. There it is again. And honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and by thy and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And again, all our senses, my friends, will be perfected. We're going to see Jesus, and we're going to be like him. Our senses will be perfected. Our eyes will see what they were created to see. Our ears will hear what they were created to hear. Our hearts will love what they were created to love. Genuine love, real love, unchanging love, pure love, holy love. Our mind will think what it was created to think. All our senses will be loaded to maximum consciousness and perception. As the psalmist said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures, pleasures forevermore. Our emotions will be healed. Our tears will be wiped away. There will be no more sorrow, and death will not exist. Our hearts will soar into the unspeakable regions of perfect love, profoundest ecstasy, rapturous joy, everlasting satisfaction, eternal holiness, never ending contentment, supreme and unfading pleasure, and unstained, uninhibited, endless worship. We will see, we will hear, we will know, we will love, and we will have Christ. Christ washing us with the word will be finished. For we will be spotless, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. He will present us to himself, We will never have to break up the meeting with God's people, for we will all be together in the realms of glory for eternity. We will never have to go home because we will be permanently at home. We will see Christ Jesus perfectly, hear Him perfectly, love Him perfectly, and have Him perfectly. We will see His head, His hands, His feet, and the wounds that freely bled and purchased our salvation. Our love will be perfect and never ending. We will never think, we will never say, we will never do any wickedness. We will not corrupt anyone, and no one will corrupt us. We will not hurt anyone, and nobody will hurt us. We will love everyone we see, and we will see everyone whom we have loved in Christ. Holy and pure thoughts will flow from our minds. Sweet and gracious words will flow from our lips. Righteous and God-honoring works will flow from our lives forever. We will obtain the glory of God, the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will be like Him. We will be with Him. We will love and adore and praise Him forever and ever and ever. And all because of the life of God in the soul of man. That's it. From calling to the glorious presence of Christ, His mighty life in ours draws us from darkness into His light. So rooted in God's eternal purpose, effectual calling and regeneration are the works of God alone. But when the life of God enters the soul of man, it produces the fruit of repentance and faith in Jesus Christ as He is set forth in the gospel. Paul thanks God that the Thessalonians experienced this. I thank God for those of you that have, and I pray for those of you that have not. God will show you your need of Christ. Let us believe the truth of the gospel, and may all the glory be God's forever and ever as we enter in and obtain the glory of Christ. Amen.